Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches in Alberta, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, the first Banner of Truth radio message for 2016 is based on the last verses of 2 Peter as we conclude our study of this letter. And as we begin a new year, let's listen now to Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, stressing at the end the call for Christians to diligent and eager Christian discipleship. Yes, most hearty, zealous following after Jesus Christ and His gospel word. Won't that be a good way to begin the new year for you and me? I want to show you this. It's Peter's earnest final exhortation to us. And let us notice under this theme the basis of this earnest discipleship that he brings out, the behavior of earnest discipleship he teaches, and the blessedness of earnest discipleship. Let me read to you first the last four verses of 2 Peter chapter 3, the verses 14 to 18. There God's word states, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," that is, for the return of Christ and the new heavens and earth, Peter means, "be diligent that ye may be found of him, of Christ, in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." To bring out the urgent last call for diligent and eager following after Jesus in spirit and truth, we need just to look here at verse 14. There Peter writes, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." The wherefore at the beginning of verse 14 brings us to the basis of Peter's final exhortation. The wherefore relates to all that he has written in this second letter, really. Peter is saying in his final verses, "Beloved, having heard now from me about the precious grace of God for sinners like us, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and receiving that gospel, what should be the fruit thereof? Should it not be that we live all out for God and His glory, and in true love and care for our neighbor, not just in terms of this life, but thinking of their spiritual and eternal well-being too?" Realizing as well that many false teachers and scoffers are going about, should we not always be so careful in God's ways and zealously be pursuing those ways? Yes, especially too, seeing the end of the age is approaching, when Christ returns as triumphant Savior and Lord and Judge over all, and when this old world of sin will be burnt up and the eternal age begins. An eternal realm in one of two places, either in hell with all the wicked and unbelieving, or in heaven with all the redeemed of God in the new heavens and earth to come. Wherefore, for all these reasons, and also for the fact that Satan won't sit still in the last days, persecuting Christians and drawing away fence-sitters to his lies till their death, be diligent, therefore, and zealous followers of the Lamb of God. Don't trust yourselves ever, but daily humble yourselves before the Lord and under His word, and ask Him to guide you and to guard you and to bless you and make you a blessing." Do you see the basis of the Apostle Peter's last exhortations here? It is his love for them, and his understanding of human nature, and his faith in the riches of the gospel, and his realization we live here yet in perilous times, that all contributes to Peter's earnest, solemn call to us, namely, to be diligent and earnestly, steadfastly zealous disciples of Christ and his word. Here it is so important that you and I understand the bottom line basis for the last exhortations of Peter. The bottom line basis is not some kind of self-resolution or self-determination from out of ourselves. Oh, how many New Year's resolutions in this regard often come to nothing, because it is all dependent on just ourselves, when as sinners we have proven over and over so unreliable and undependable, especially in the long run, before God and our neighbor. But listen now, Peter is not saying at the end of his writings, it is all up to us, you and me, whether we persevere in the faith and flourish in the faith in triumph. Instead, isn't Peter urging rather, dear friends, be so understanding the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and living out of that grace of God, and by that grace of God, and in promotion of the grace of God, as revealed in the one and only Savior of sinners, and all his gospel word. Remember how Peter wrote already in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter, about God's divine power giving unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ, by whom are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises in our every need, with seeking and serving the Lord. Oh, the basis for an all-out, ever-diligent and zealous Christianity is not from within ourselves or of ourselves, but from God triune and through God triune, and all to the glory of God triune in Christ Jesus. While the world may promote self-determination and desperation as motive for achievement and success, in the Christian life, it is not self-desperation and our own human determination that makes the difference, that brings victory. No, but rather God's grace, and humbly and heartily depending on Christ the Savior and the riches of his grace in justification and sanctification and glorification in and through him, trusting and following him, Jesus Christ the Lord. I wonder, does this all make sense to you now? Looking at our text passage in the last verses of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter knew from personal experience that as a child of God, the way forward and onward in the Christian life is never in self-dependence and cocky unguardedness in the faith. No, we will fall from our own steadfastness the moment you and I take our eyes off Christ and the grace of God as revealed in Christ Jesus. Peter's two letters, therefore, are all about exhorting his readers truly to look to Christ, the only Savior of sinners, and always to cling to him, and to abide in him, and to follow him, and to grow in knowing him, and testifying of him, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the crucified and risen Savior. You see, the Christian life in view of Christ isn't a matter of desperation dependent on ourselves ever, but rather it's a matter of diligently depending on God always, God our Savior, as revealed in Jesus Christ, and receiving daily out of his fullness grace for grace. Thanks be unto God. Or are you into knowing Christ and knowing him better and better and loving him more and more? Isn't this what Peter's actually lovingly urging us in and about? And isn't this such great gospel tidings and blessed good news as we begin another new year? God's people don't need to be desperate in the faith, but diligent in the faith, ever looking to Jesus, the Savior, and abiding in him and his word, drawing from him out of his fullness grace for grace. Having considered the basis of Peter's Spirit-inspired exhortation to live earnest Christian godly lives, let us move to our second main point and consider the behavior of faithful discipleship, or you might say the conduct of true and living Christians. Here let's go back to verse 14. What does Peter say there? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The verbs looking for and being diligent relate back to what Peter says also in verse 12. In fact, Peter uses the same verbs in both cases in the Greek. He writes at the end of verse 11 and on to verse 12 about what manner of persons we ought to be as confessing Christians, living in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto, or eagerly awaiting and seeking for, the coming of the day of God. From these verses, and the verses following too, will you notice with me at least five characteristics of true Christian behavior that goes along with true discipleship when following zealously after the Lord. For one, doesn't true discipleship show itself in being diligent to be found in Christ and heartily following after him? Diligent in the sense of not ever taking that as a matter for granted, but daily, conscientiously confessing this as your prayer and care, asking the Lord so to guide you by his Spirit and Word every moment and step of your life. True and steadfast Christians don't stop examining themselves whether they are in the faith and ask regularly with the psalmist of Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you reflect this humble attitude before God and others, and really believe of yourself as that Christian who testified, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." Dear friends, let us always be alarmed when this is not our mindset and attitude reflected in our lives from day to day. Again, Peter's humble warnings, learned painfully in his own life experience, is something we should never think we don't have to take most seriously all the time. All Christians, including Peter, who have fallen deeply but returned by God's grace, will tell you they're going astray and falling badly, even was in a time of lack of humility and watchfulness in God's ways. Peter again will be the first to tell us this, and therefore he so stresses the matter for our well-being. Secondly, in connection with the behavior consistent with diligent and zealous following after Christ, doesn't Peter make clear that, as he puts it, our lives must be spotless and blameless before God and man? This is what we should be pursuing after, looking to Jesus. We read of the false teachers in chapter 2, verse 13, that they were, quote, "spots and blemishes, holding not only to false teaching, but living also in sinful and ungodly, lustful, inconsistent, shameful ways." But when confessing Christians in truth, then we must not allow in our lives any inconsistency from God's ways, not a single transgression against any of his holy commandments, not in our thoughts, words, or deeds. James speaks about pure religion as being full of good and loving deeds, like visiting the fatherless and widow, and then he adds, and remaining unspotted from this world. Are you and I diligent in these matters? Namely, in putting down sin and pursuing righteousness and godliness in sincerity and truth. Is your and my testimony, by God's grace, clear as a bell in this regard? Or do I, give an unclear testimony, a mixed message to those around us, a blurred and unfaithful witness? What do our lives reflect? Are they spots or blemishes in regards to the Christian faith and gospel message? Or are you and I diligent to be found in Christ in peace and living without spot and blameless before God and our neighbor? Doesn't Peter urge for a Christian witness in word and deed in line with all God's commandments, a witness that is clear as a bell? In 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle urged along the same line about, quote, having a good or clear conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, including conduct, your good conduct in Christ. I wonder in this regard if there is anything in your life, some habit or practice of yours, that you know, if honest, doesn't really give you as clear as a bell Christian testimony. Oh, isn't it a great problem in the Christian church, over the centuries, to the present day, exactly here, and all too often in doctrine and life, people can be half-hearted rather than whole-hearted, giving an uncertain trumpet sound for the gospel, rather than a testimony clear as a bell, clear as a bell, clear as a bell. Will you this year, by God's grace, give a clear-as-a-bell Christian testimony in all you think, say, and do, God helping you by His Word and Spirit every day anew? Here also a third behavior trait of earnest discipleship that Peter brings out is loving God's Word, and always and again placing yourself under that Word and watching out for any false teachings concerning it. This comes out in what Peter says when he speaks in verse 15 and 16 about the wisdom of Scripture to guide us, as given by the apostles and prophets. It fits, too, with what Peter wrote in the first chapter of 2 Peter, verse 19, exhorting us always to take heed to God's Word as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. God's faithful and true people are and remain people of the book, people under the book, that is the Bible, people with God's Word as a lamp to their feet and a light upon their path. How much you and I need to be submerging ourselves and submitting ourselves to God's holy, infallible Scriptures, all 66 books in the whole of the Old Testament and New Testament Bible. Are you into God's Word? And will you follow it as a lamp to your feet and a light on your path also in this new year, 2016? The only safe passage to glory is ever staying with the Bible and asking God to lead us by His Word and Spirit till journey's end. Does your and my life reflect this love and devotion for God's Word? Or do you spend more time texting others than listening to God's text to us? If you honestly added your hours behind television and computer being entertained by what the world wants to tell and offer us, compared to the time in God's Word and in books about His Word and in the study of His Word with others and hearing the preaching of His Word, would it be convicting to you and perhaps shocking even, especially if you knew others would know? How many confessing Christians think they know mostly all there is to know from the Bible and in the Christian faith, when the facts are the most knowledgeable and devoted believer in this world knows hardly the tiniest little bit of the endless riches of all there is to learn and know about God in His Word and about Christ the Savior from His Word, and our great need of Him constantly. Exactly because people know their Bible so little today, there is such an easy falling into error and false teaching quickly, left to ourselves. Let us beware of these things, and being much in the Word can help us have our antenna up for false doctrine in any way. Peter urges really even the hard sections of Scripture, some of which are found in Paul's writings too, by God's Spirit, should not discourage us, you and me, from the truth, but have us dig in it all the more and prayerfully pray for God's illumination and guidance in understanding and applying all God's Word by the unmistakable, irresistible ministry of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, are you resolved in this way too? Not desperately so, no, but diligently so. Don't think you can expect blessings and peace in the new year living a life in disregard for God's Word and the faithful preaching and teaching of His Word. How important that you care much about this for yourself and for your family. This is what Peter the Apostle of Christ teaches us, led by the Holy Spirit of God in His inspired writing, as we have it here in God's Word. And a fourth characteristic of Christian behavior going with diligent and zealous discipleship is growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Isn't it always true? If you and I are not growing in grace and faith and godliness, we are likely stalling and becoming stagnant and living unfaithfully in creed and conduct. The "but" at the beginning of verse 18 suggests the opposite of falling away is growing steadfastly. Peter writes there, doesn't he? He writes in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace," he says, "and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." Someone wrote, quote, "The Christian life is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you fall off." How true that is. No true Christian thinks that he has arrived. Peter and Paul, we read, both urge to press on as they themselves have done by God's grace. Philippians 2 verse 13 and following. The Christian life is a developing life, for it consists in getting to know at ever greater depth an inexhaustible Lord and Savior and the wonders of his grace and truth. It is the mark of false teachers and hypocrites that they think they have it all together and that they have arrived and need no more teaching and guidance and instruction, etc. Beware of all such false teachers. Are you and I taking care to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? This is what identifies the true and thriving believer. Does it identify you too by God's grace? Will it be one of your aims for this new year? Does it show also in you making use of the means of growing, thinking of attendance at the church services in a faithful church, and attendance at Bible studies and in fellowship times, and having good books that you can read, and making use of the countless opportunities for Christian service at home and in the church and in the community and world around us? Can your life be described as Peter urges in 1 Peter 2, verse 15, living with well-doing, as he puts it, by God's grace? For so is the will of God, says Peter in that verse. Which Christian, wanting to live in zealous pursuit and testimony of God, won't accept the need continually to be exhorted and encouraged in this way of constant well-doing and praying and working steadfastly, not to become weary in well-doing? Trusting also, as Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 10, "For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Saying that brings me yet to the last point to mention in regards to Christian behavior when living in diligent and zealous Christian discipleship before God and our neighbor. And that is living in the light of Christ's return and the last judgment day to come. This is something Peter has been emphasizing throughout his whole second letter. Your posture and mine needs to be, if it is well, always keeping in view the certainty of Christ's sudden climactic return one day and the necessity to be ready whenever he should appear, yes, for the last judgment, and to live calling others to be ready too. Are you and I living with second coming conscientiousness and aiming always by God's grace to be ready to meet the Lord? False teachers deny Jesus' second coming and also live wicked and immoral, hypocritical lives in one way or another. But Peter here stresses in his final verses, let there be a constant look of hope in view of Christ's return with a life of pursuit of holiness in thankful trust and praise of Christ Jesus and anticipation of him, the one and only Savior of sinners, when he comes again. Indeed, just as the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 3, "And every man that has this hope in him, that is, of Jesus' glorious return, and going to heaven by grace through faith in him, purifies himself," says John, "even as he, the Lord and Savior, is pure." Well, are you looking to that final day and living in humble and expectant anticipation of that coming day of God? How terrible that day will be for all the wicked and unbelieving, but how wonderful for all those trusting and faithful followers of Christ the Savior. If you are not yet saved, dear friends, won't you listen to the gospel tidings while it is yet the day of grace, even this first Sunday of the new year? In short, the gospel message is, whoever believes in Christ, repenting of sin and trusting and following him as only Savior of sinners and Lord of our lives, shall be saved. Whoever will not repent nor believe will perish in their sins and be cast into eternal hell, there to suffer the punishment for sin justly and forevermore. Oh, that everyone hearing this message now will truly listen to the gospel call while it is yet the day of grace and before Christ suddenly returns, as will happen, even when we might think and say it will never happen. Are you and I diligent and zealous followers of the Lamb in our lives and in our times? The five traits of the behavior of godly, faithful disciples of the Lord, as we have thought about them from the text, are they traits you and I have and desire to have more and more by God's grace and Spirit in our lives? This is what Peter is urging, surely, as he closes off his writings. And he does this also in view of our third main point, yet very briefly, about the blessedness of so living and dying. The blessedness of so living and dying as diligent and zealous Christians is that in this way, God is glorified, as is his due. And besides, we become such a blessing then to others too. It's also the way of experiencing such assurance of faith and delight in God's ways. Yes, when you and I, by God's grace alone, live heartily and holily before the Lord and seek to love him and our neighbor as God commands, and not less and less so as time goes on, but more and more so, God helping us day by day. When your and my aim thus becomes ever to please the Lord, God Triune will not shortchange his people in this desire, but both truly bless us and make us a blessing to others. Why, we might even be the means of being instruments of the gospel to others, helping bring those around us to pay attention to the one and only gospel message for this perishing world of so much suffering and misery on account of sin, namely the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his marvelous grace for whoever confesses their sins and trusts and follows him. Even so, may God bless also this short series of five messages based on 2 Peter, leaving none of us unsaved, and causing us by his Spirit and Word to be faithful and zealous disciples of Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord. Isn't it in this way that you can truly say then also to others, a very blessed and happy new year to you all? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. But if you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our church services. If you have been blessed by this message and you wish to let us know that, or simply to request a free copy of the message, you can write to the Banner of Truth, 2419 54th Avenue, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, postal code T3E1M2. That's the Banner of Truth, 2419 54th Avenue, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T3E, Tom and Elizabeth, 1M2, as in mother. You can also call direct at 403-474-5385. That's 403-474-5385. We are always glad to hear from you. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. These messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, the Free Reformed Church is located at 2419 54th Avenue Southwest, Calgary. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 5:30. Pastor Hans Overdoon can be reached at 403-474-5385. 1-800-275-8585. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.